What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building here up in St. Joe, Missouri. We are at the Buffalo Wild Wings, the Fans Football Show. It's the Takeover Edition. We know the text messages and phone calls have been raving for Sean Barber and myself to get back in the building. And we are here for 96.5 The Fan and Bud Light as Buffalo Wild Wings up here at 5403 North Belt Highway in St. Joe will be on for 2 hours. And it's just a special, special time for Sean and I to get together. We got the Takeover Edition. Our brother Binkley is not here this week. Mitch Schwartz is not here. It is, I don't know if it's the worst nightmare or the best dream, that you got Sean Barber, former linebacker with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I am Danon Hughes, former wide receiver with the Kansas City Chiefs and current color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network. We are so happy to be here on a Friday night. Each and every Friday night, we've been around town at different locations for Buffalo Wild Wings, but we get to take over this St. Joe location tonight. We got a whole bunch of fans in here, a lot of Chiefs Red Friday in the building, watching some college football, high school football, a lot going on here with great food, great drinks, great deals. If you haven't been at Buffalo Wild Wings, there is a Friday deal that you can come in. They got delicious wings and $5 ice cold Bud Light tall. So make sure you make your way after a long week of work, maybe a rough day today. You just want to kick off the weekend. Make your way to a Buffalo Wild Wings location around the Kansas City metro area. We are up here in St. Joe for the evening, and we'll be on the air for 2 hours. Sean Barber, good to see you, brother.
Always loving what's going on here in the Kansas City metro. Man, we're up at St. Joe. We're just doing our thing, man. It's the takeover. Yeah. The takeover edition. Players only have landed. They couldn't get enough. I mean,
players only 2.0.
Bro, we've been banging on the door. We're telling our producers, man, listen, players only need to be extended to 2 hours. And finally, we're going to have a test drive. What is going to happen? What are we going to do when players only?
Be careful what you ask for.
You better be careful, bro. You know what I'm saying? What's that dude, Y Tittle? He missed one game. And
it wasn't Y Tittle.
T.Y. Was
Wally Pipp, man.
Oh, Wally Pipp. He missed the start, and all of a sudden Babe Ruth took over.
There you go.
I knew it was somebody.
It wasn't Babe Ruth.
Well, who is it?
Hey, you. Oh, my gosh. I needed that laugh right there.
Hey, sports.
You trying to import some baseball references is a comedy tonight. That's just comedy to me.
Isn't they on Y Tittle?
No, it wasn't.
Something like that? Well, listen, we do got those $5 22-ounce Bud Lights flowing. I'm going to rename them. Every Friday when you come to Buffalo Wild Wings, if you want yourself a 22-ounce Bud Light, you should just say
Bud Light Tall.
Man, no, man. Just give me the McDuffie.
The McDuffie, 22. Oh, okay, I like that.
Give me that McDuffie. That's going to be automatically a $5 22-ounce Bud Light. And then we didn't even talk about this pick six.
Yes. Well, we got the pick six that's on every Thursday. So we're here on Friday night, but every Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings around the Kansas City metro area has a special pick six, $19.99 for two entrees, two sides, and two soft drinks. So make sure you make your way either Thursday, come up here for Thursday night football, Friday at various locations around town. You might see us. You might see Binkley. You might see Mitchell Schwartz.
Yeah.
We're up here talking about the Chiefs. Before we get into this Chiefs team, and we're gonna recap this last win against the Buccaneers, we have some great gifts here. You got to register to win a Travis Kelce bobblehead. It is 4 feet tall. There's a table right tower right over here. You can register. That will be a gift that will be raffled off at the end of the season. So make sure you get your name on one of the slips. It does not cost a thing. Everyone that's in here, we got families coming in, a wait list of people at the door coming in to take part in this great food and drinks here at the Buffalo Wild Wings up here in St. Joe off of Belt Highway. So make your way here for the Travis Kelce bobblehead raffle that will go off at the end of the season. And then we have a back-to-back Bud Light Super Bowl LED neon light here that's also going to be raffled as well. So two great gifts on display along with multiple koozies. We got some stress balls, T-shirts, a whole bunch of items over here to celebrate our two-time defending Super Bowl champ, Kansas City Chiefs. Now, having said all that, I laid the table out for all that's happening up here in St. Joe Barbershop. Let's get to the football.
Let's talk about it. What are we going to start off
give
first?
Give me your recap of this last week against the Buccaneers. Obviously, it was a tight game, went to overtime. There was no doubt in my mind that we would win that game. But for a lot of people around the Chiefs Kingdom, a lot of football fans, they bite their fingernails. They pull out their hair because we're playing so many close games. But I want to hear your assessment about this Chiefs team, what they accomplished on Monday Night Football, that stage, where they stand right now.
Okay, well, I'm going to use the shotgun and you use the sniper gun, all right? So I'm going to come off with the shotgun. I'm going to hit them with the broad stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then you can kind of get into the minutia of the minutia.
Yeah.
So you was on the radio the other day with me and you was using all these big words. So I went in and did some AI. I asked TP chat. What is it? Some kind of chat? Automated. What is it called? Artificial intelligence.
Yeah, AI.
Yeah,
I use chat.
Chat TP.
Chat TPT is whatever.
I went in and found all that and found out some really big words to use on the radio today. So, yeah, you're gonna get into the minutia of it all, and we're gonna talk. Matt, listen. At the end of the day, we knew what we had to get done. The things that stood out to me about the Buccaneers game on Monday Night Football actually was some of the things that some details that we could get a little bit better. There was a drive there where we were within field goal range and then we took a sack, got us out of field goal range. So that was some points left on the board. We talk about the turnover. Kelce had a ball punched out. All in all, Kelce had a great game. Multiple targets, multiple yardage. Back to like the old Kelce of old. But getting that ball punched out while we was in, you know, field goal range. To me, both opportunities to get three points, that's 6 points left on the board. And then when I think about it, man, some of the things that we saw in the second half as far as defense, not really the same defense that we're used to, not that lockdown in the second half, not giving up any extra points, kind of choking out the opponent after the first half. But that kind of was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their staff really taking advantage that we were down to our four-string corner and taking advantage of 30, CRW,
yep.
Roland Wallace. We get Nazi back, man. So we get Nazi back in the building. Him and Williams, I think, that 1-2 punch as far as being the second corner opposite McDuffie should give us a little kick in our butt a little bit when it comes to the defensive, how sticky we can be on the back end. But yeah, I'm going to say, I love the win, but I would say personally, I was a little bit more, not disappointed. I was personally like a little bit left frustrated and a little unsatisfied with maybe some of the leaky points, some of the points given up,
yeah.
and how the game actually ended up being a lot closer going into overtime. I mean, I don't see that as a team that we should be taking into overtime.
Yeah, I can understand the frustration, but to me that speaks more to the height of expectations that we have here in the Chiefs Kingdom. You set the bar so high that now some of the games that are tight, because we have to recognize the entire landscape, the dynamic of when we're playing a game each and every week. First of all, every team that we play, it's their Super Bowl.
Yes, yes.
Every team that we play, especially going forward, who are at 500 or maybe sub-500 in their record, even though a win would just be one win on their schedule, it's like four wins to them as far as confidence levels, et cetera. I've often referenced going back to last year. You can make a strong argument that the Detroit Lions don't get to the NFC Championship without beating the Chiefs in game one.
Hmm.
The boost in confidence to come into Arrowhead and beat the defending Super Bowl champs, even though we were without Chris Jones and we were without Travis Kelce, they came in and won.
that was a boost that kind of catapulted them in confidence to the point of the domination that they had for most of last season. And then the confidence in going to the playoffs. Could you imagine being the Detroit Lions? They got to tap back into every when they went on the road in the playoffs, when they hosted teams in the playoffs. Hey, we won at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium against the defending Super Bowl champs. We can win here. We can go to Detroit. We can go to Green Bay. We can win tough games against Minnesota. We can win tough games in the NFC and beat the Dallas. I mean, all the teams that they got past to get to the Super Bowl. We can do that mainly because they tapped in to what they were able to accomplish at Arrowhead Stadium in Game 1. That's one thing. These teams coming in, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Saints, now the Denver Broncos, like look up and down our schedule. Do we see anybody that's not going to view us as the great catalyst for them to change their season around? The Denver Broncos are coming in this week, and they're 5-4. Not playing great football, got blown out a couple weeks ago against the Ravens.
Yep.
But at the same time, could that change for them if they're able to beat us a second consecutive time after we've beaten them 16 straight times going into last year's matchup in October? That's something that is we have to reckon with. We have to recognize that teams are going to come in, and although they may play terribly in other weeks against teams that are lesser than us, they're going to play their best football against us. Now, people would also, you go into a situation and how that game unfolded. You mentioned about overtime. Todd Bowles, I think it was a dumb decision to not go for 2 points and try to snatch the will and a win away from the Chiefs on their home field. Now, some people might make the argument because of what we saw last night.
You know I'm going to make the argument.
Because what we saw last night, I'm interested to hear that, but I think overall you got the Chiefs that won the game against the team they were supposed to beat, and I don't know how Coach Vermeil coached for you, but I know Marty Schottenheimer, when he was my coach, used to say, if you want to be successful in January, win the games at home and beat the teams you're supposed to beat. When it's all said and done, when all the dust cleared, we got to win against the team we were supposed to beat. And regardless if we didn't cover, I believe this year we're 8-0. We've only covered one time in those eight games, and that was against the Saints. So I don't know if that changes the minds of the bettors out there. I'm not a gambling guy, but I will say a win is a win. And if we beat the Buccaneers 3-2, or if we beat the Denver Broncos coming up 3-2, you know what that means? Another win. That's what it means. So when it's all said and done, this is a great win for the Chiefs. But I want to get your take on one component. We just teased it a little bit in regards to Todd Bowles and his decision to go for 2 points or not to go for 2 points at the end of the game, and directly reflected against what we saw last night with the Ravens and the Bengals.
Yes.
So you got two countering different examples, and I want to hear your points about that. So when we come back, we're going to hear Barbershop pick apart the theory of going for 2 points for the win or tying the game at the end. All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Fans Football Show up at Buffalo Wild Wings. We are on location here in St. Joe, Missouri at 5403 North Belt Highway. The Buffalo Wild Wings location up here. Come and join us. There's a scarcity in seats. Not many seats out here. We got a lot of people here, a lot of energy, a lot of Chiefs fans. We're loving every moment of it. We'll be here until 8 p.m. tonight. It's right off the intersection of I-29 and I-169. So make your way up here for the 96.5 The Fan and Bud Light, the Fans Football Show right up here at Buffalo Wild Wings. I am joined with my brother, Sean Barber, a.k.a. Barbershop, and I am Danon Hughes. You can follow me on Twitter /X at DAHughesGuy83 or on Instagram at Danon Hughes Barbershop. How can they follow you?
Oh, you can follow me at Sean Barber 59, and I don't know on what platform that is, but just search it.
It's on MySpace. Barbershop is still on MySpace, everybody.
You know what? That might be true. It might be true. Whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram,
InstaChat.
You know what?
Belichick. Like,
yeah. If you can't
Snapface.
If you can't find me, you ain't supposed to find me. So, all good. Well, it's a great show, man. Like you said, we teased it coming back. We talked about that two-point conversion, when to go for it, when not to go for it. Listen, man, I'm a defensive-minded guy. I don't want the game to be over until it's over. So if there's any way for me to keep the game going forward, I'm a guy who looks forward to overtime. I look forward to extra snaps. I'm looking forward for a way for me to win the game. So, listen, I'm taking the free points. I'm taking the extra point at the end of the game all the time. I'm going to overtime because I believe that my defense is going to be able to stop you, hold you to a field goal, and then our offense is going to be able to win the ball.
So
win the ball game.
So you're of the school of thought that he should have went for the extra point, tie the game, go for overtime. And that's your thought.
Definitely. I mean,
so he made the right decision.
In my eyes, Ty Bowles made the right decision because I think that if you go for two and you don't get it, like we saw last night on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football, that's game over. You don't get any chance. Mm-hmm. At least he gave himself a chance to go to overtime. And though Baker Mayfield, once the coin was flipped, and we,
the body language spoke volumes.
The body language, the energy, it was
off the building.
Yeah, his whole body went limp like a wet noodle once Patrick won the coin flip. And he knew that we was going to go down and score. Again, you got the chance, you got an ability to at least have a chance to go out there and make a play.
So you don't think that playing on the road, being the home team versus the away team, maybe coming from behind to get to that point or holding a lead until that point, you don't think any of those components come into play? It's just whatever circumstance is, you came back from 50, you came back from 5, whatever it is, whatever happens, you should kick the extra point and tie the game. That's what you're saying.
The only time I'm going for two, if I'm down by 8, if I'm down by 16,
tie the game.
If I'm not down by that, then I'm just playing football. I'm just playing football until I get to the end of the game, and then that'll tell me and dictate. I'm not going for two unless I need to go for two.
So I'm gonna agree to disagree with you. I think circumstances, game situations.
You kind of an analytics type guy. You got that analytics going through you. You went to Iowa.
What'd you call the first segment? You didn't say Wally Pipp. You said somebody else.
Y.A. Tittle.
I'm not Y.A. Tittle getting subbed out for Babe Ruth.
That's
what I'm not.
I mean, somebody got subbed out. You know what I mean? Somebody missed the start, and the other guy got the start. They never gave him a spot back.
So I feel like I want to drag this along for most of these segments tonight without telling you the actual answer to that.
I don't even care.
I'm a baseball guy.
That's what I'm trying to say.
So we're just going to go with the Y.A. Tittle got subbed out. Y.A. Tittle got hurt. In your mind, why he still got hurt?
Lost his spot
to Babe Ruth.
And Babe Ruth went in.
That's where it is. Okay.
And that's where he became great.
That's where all the fans here, they picked up their faces from the great barbecue and wings that they're tasting and the beers and the beverages to look at you crazy for saying Y.A. Tittle and Babe Ruth. But I'm not going to correct you. Maybe somebody else will come up and correct you.
This ain't the first time somebody.
I'm going to relish this moment.
This ain't the first time somebody didn't correct me, man. I'm you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to relish this moment that you put those two together. And I'm also going to give a shout out to the manager up here, Jared. He just brought up some maple chipotle and Cajun wings for us to taste on here. We got the Bud Light. Obviously great support and great sponsorship by Bud Light for the fans football show that we're up here. Remember, we're at the Buffalo Wild Wings off of Belt Highway here in St. Joe. Love to be up here amongst the Chiefs Kingdom. This is the home of Chiefs training camp.
Yes.
So good to be back up here. Normally, when we leave training camp and training camp breaks in August, you don't get very many opportunities to come back up here north to celebrate with the fans. But I can tell you, from an experience, from an atmosphere, et cetera, there's nothing greater than coming up to training camp and being a part of this fan base at training camp, whether we come up for alumni day or just a random practice, to see the support from these locals up here in St. Joe has been awesome.
Now, Dana, I'm kind of bougie, so I kind of come back a few times to play some golf because that St. Joe Country Club.
That is good. That is fire.
That's fire.
Shout out to St. Joe Country Club.
They got it. They got a hidden jewel up here, man.
They still got divots from you that you made, too. All right, we got some gifts up here for all the fans that are here. You can hear all the noise in the background. Everyone enjoying some college football, high school football. We got hockey on the screen, some throwback NBA and college basketball as well. We got a Travis Kelce bobblehead. Now, it's not just your small bobbleheads that you would get at the Royals games.
Yeah.
It is a 4 foot tall bobblehead of Travis Kelce that will be, you will register to win at the end of the season. We also have a back to back Bud Light Super Bowl neon LED light right here at the table, along with some giveaways, koozies, stress balls, t-shirts, a lot of stuff going on here to celebrate our defending, two-time defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. If you come here on Thursday night, you can get the buy one, get one, and boneless wings here as well at all the locations in the Kansas City metro area. But this is the takeover edition of the Fans Football Show, normally hosted by our brother Jay Binkley.
Yeah, man. Shout out, man.
Under the weather.
Prayers out. Prayers out.
Quick recovery to our guy, Jay Binkley. And back to strength. Binkley is the man. And they went to the bullpen, tapped the right arm, and I had to come out of the bullpen like Mariano Rivera. He played baseball.
Oh, Lord.
Hopefully you know that name, because Y.A. Tittle did not play baseball.
All right. Did he play for the Dodgers?
Y.A. Tittle?
No, the guy you just said. The right-hander.
I feel like we got to go to commercial, but I'm not going to give
the
you
right, the right-hander. The right-hander you just said, he pitched for the Dodgers.
He pitched for the Yankees, man. I didn't say the
Dodgers.
Bro,
the Dodgers, the Yankees.
He pitched for the Yankees.
That's the same difference. He's a Hall of Famer.
All right. So,
same difference.
Going back to the original point when we talked about Todd Bowles, they came in, and this is a dynamic that I think is very important to point out. I've said it on my Players Only show. I've said it during the pregame show and even during the broadcast.
Danny, we gotta tip our hats to the Buccaneers because they did come in here and execute a game plan. They didn't come in here and just like, hey, man, we're just going to give it our best shot, whatever. No, they came in with a specific, like, hey, we don't have top-end receivers. We got two amazing running backs. We got to be able to control this clock, run the ball. We got an amazing tight end, and we know that's a weakness. Like they came in and actually – I mean, they executed. They checked the boxes to make it a ball game.
No doubt. And I will say this, to support your points right there, this is another point to be made. For all the fans out there, and this is not a knock to the fans because I love the fans, but let's face it, there are some fans out there that think that the NFL depth chart is like the high school depth chart or like the college depth chart.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I played in the league. You played for a decade. I played for 6 years. We can tell you firsthand – and it's not something to pump myself up. You went through many years of not being a starter, then many years of being a starter.
I was always a starter.
I went through all my years of not being a starter and a few games being a starter at wide receiver. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the difference between the number one guy and the number three, four, five, six guys is not as big as you would think.
No.
This is not high school. It's not college. The NFL is loaded with professionals that can play the game that just need opportunity.
Damn.
They need to be in a certain circumstance. They need to be in a situation where they can flourish. And you might be a third guy on this depth chart, but you could be a number one anywhere on any other team. And so these games, when you play the Buccaneers and these type of teams that come in, they got a lot of guys on the injured list. It's like a mash unit at different positions. Those guys can still play.
Yep.
And that's what we saw against the Buccaneers, is a team that had some fight, that had understood that losing their two games prior to coming in, three of their last four of their last six, they were desperate.
Yeah,
so
they were
a desperate team that had some injuries, that you had players playing that you didn't really have a whole bunch of film on.
That's another thing.
And they came in with some fight. So I agree, you give them some credit for the fight that they stepped up on that stage to perform, but in essence they got the L. Let's just face it, like, that's all well and good, that's all nice, but they got the L. They were supposed to lose, and they came in and left with exactly what they were supposed to get. Hopefully they got some good barbecue, maybe some wings from Buffalo Wild Wings, but they got the L, and they got to take that back down to Florida.
Well, like you said, at the end of the day, man, there's some things we got to realize. Defensively, I talk about how they checked the boxes on offense. They did some things that we knew they was going to try to do, and in a lot of ways, we just, our normal brick wall defense, our normal, hey, you might get a little bit in the first half, but come the second half, I think we only average giving up like 3 points a game in the second half or something like that.
Yeah.
Those third and fourth wide receivers who now are being given multiple snaps, multiple opportunities, they know that this is their time to broaden their resume.
Yeah.
This is like yeah, I've been the third or fourth wide receiver for multiple years behind Mike Evans, behind Chris Godwin. Well, for now, for the rest of the season, this is my time to shine
yeah.
and earn my next contract. And using that to the best of their ability, you had some, like you said, you had some guys out there with a heightened level of energy and execution and attention to detail, and we didn't have the same film to study. If I'm a defensive back, I have hundreds of snaps of Mike Evans and
Chris Godwin yep.
to say, all right, when that guy lines up at a certain depth and he runs a certain route, that's when I know he's triggering this, whatever.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
He hasn't played since he left the Giants like 3 years. So
yep.
there wasn't a great amount of film on these guys. And so we had to kind of sit back and play coverage. And, again, to Baker Mayfield's credit, if you sit back in a zone, he is good enough to pick you apart. He's good enough to complete passes. And then they did something, obviously, you know, took advantage of us on a little out and up by the tight end for a touchdown and did some things like that. But all in all, man, like, it comes down to just having that grit, having that tenacity, being able to have some trust,
yeah.
the communication, the commitment, all the things that we've kind of relied on for this defense to come together and make the plays they needed to make. At the end of the day in the NFL, when you actually win a ball game, it's all three phases.
Yeah.
And as we executed all three phases better than our opponent.
Yep. So that kind of brings us to the break, Barbershop. We're going to put to bed this last win and the Buccaneers and all the talk about
put
the Buccaneers.
Them bucks to bed.
Well, I still want to talk about this team and the structure. You hit on a couple of points that I'd like to rewind back to. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about this team because we're also embarking upon the midway point of the season.
That's right.
Like Turn after this week, we will be beyond the midway point of the season in regards to hopefully being 9-0, playing 17 games. Regular season games in the season. I want to talk about the grading of each position, where you think we stand at each position, and how strong we look moving forward into the second half of this regular season. When we come back, we're going to chat about that.
Like it.
All right, welcome back to the Fans Football Show. We are here on location at Buffalo Wild Wings up in St. Joe, Missouri at 5403 North Belt Highway. Come and join us. It is the Takeover Edition. I am here with my brother Sean Barber, a.k.a. Barbershop, and this is Dane and Hughes. We got our brother Quentin in the studio, manning the boards, taking care of us, giving us all the direction we need, and we are at this great location at Buffalo Wild Wings. Got a lot of great specials going on. $5 ice-cold Bud Light Talls with some delicious wings. You got a pick six for $19.99. That includes two entrees, two sides, and two soft drinks for $19.99. If you come here on Thursday nights, it's buy one, get one free in boneless wings. So you can get 10, 20, 30 boneless wings, and you're able to get another set for free.
And my favorite promotion is the McDuffie drink.
The McDuffie drink. What's the McDuffie drink?
The McDuffie is a tall Bud Light, 22-ounce Bud Light,
yeah,
$5.
$5 Bud Light tall, 22 ounces.
Get you a McDuffie.
And while you get that, or while you wait to get your drink, it is capacity in here. You see some high schoolers coming in, some college kids coming in. Check out the KU basketball game. We got NHL hockey on. We got some college football as well, the NFL Network on. So a multitude of TVs in here covering just about every sport. We also got a table right to our right where you can register to win a 4-foot-tall Travis Kelce bobblehead. That is a 4-foot-tall, not the mini ones that you would put on your shelf, but a 4-foot-tall bobblehead of Travis Kelce. So make sure if you are in the building, if you're nearby, if you're hungry, come in, enjoy some wings, get your name on the list. At the end of the season, that raffle will go off, and somebody in the Chiefs Kingdom will win that 4-foot bobblehead of Travis Kelce. There's also a back-to-back Bud Light Super Bowl LED neon light here as well. Looks like it almost looks like the sign from Vegas, but it's right there at the top of the table blinking here, so make sure you register for that. Got some giveaways, koozies, stress balls, T-shirts, a lot of really cool items here at the Buffalo Wild Wings location on North Belt Highway here in St. Joe. Barbershop, when we ended the last segment, we talked about this is an opportunity almost midway through the season. Even though it's week 10, the Chiefs will have played their ninth game. I know you're not a mathematician, but they played their ninth game. There's 18 weeks in the season. So
yeah, you're making it hard, man.
This is about the halfway point. Well, when you talk
halfway,
about
nine,
if you're just joining
17
us,
weeks.
If you're just joining us, Sean Barber in the first segment,
bro. Stop talking about old stuff.
Sitting in for Jay Binkley, who's under the weather.
Stop talking about old stuff, bro.
Sean Barber said that Y.A. Tittle lost his position, and Babe Ruth took over because Y.A. Tittle got hurt.
Bro, it's something like that. I don't get caught up with all the details. Listen,
I just want to echo that because we got a young fella here. I'm sure he knows that Y.A. Tittle was not a baseball player and he did not get hurt.
First of all, this young man is named Wyatt. Wyatt is a big Chiefs fan. We got some autographs with my man Wyatt.
All right, Wyatt, what's going on, man?
Everything's good. He's had some good wings. He stayed away from the Bud Light. Had himself a Pepsi, Sprite, little Dr. Pepper. All right, I love that. Some Dr. Pepper, some wings. So yeah, man, when you come down here, man, listen, we are friendly. This is a nice radio show. There's a waiting. It's like Dana said, man. It's standing room only. It's not a seat open here, bro.
Except at the bar. Yeah,
you can step up to the bar, get your nice 22 ounce that McDuffie. McDuffie Bud Light.
Yep. Bud Light is in the house. You got the KU game on. We're watching them go against North Carolina.
KU's up by double digits, so that's always a good thing.
Yep. All right, Barbershop, I want to get back to the matter at hand in regards to our Chiefs, because as we talk about embarking upon the midway point of the season, there's grades to be given out. We got kids.
Let's do it.
You have kids, grade A, school age. I do not have any kids school age, but I have grandkids.
Both of my parents was teachers. So when you talk about hard grader.
They evidently wasn't history teachers. Sports history.
They were not. They were not. So, yes, like I said, I'm not worried about the details. But they were both teachers. And I am a hard grader. So don't look at – no one's getting the A. Let's start there.
All right. We're going to go through each position because I'm interested to hear what your grading system as we are coming upon the midway point in the season. Let's start on the best side of the football with the smartest players.
The kickers?
The biggest reason why we've won two Super Bowls. We're going to start on the offensive side of the ball.
Let's do it.
That's where everybody's favorite is, on the offensive side of the ball.
Let's start
with the most important position in all of sports, the quarterback position. What's your grade?
I'm giving Pat Mahomes a B+ right now. Obviously, we're talking about throughout this first half of the season, not just the Buccaneers game. There was a stretch where there was some consecutive interceptions going on. Not a little bit careless with some of the possessions early on in ball games, but obviously I love the way he closed the stretch, finished ball games. When there was a needed first down or touchdown, he used his arm or his leg to make sure to make those plays, always playing way above the norm. So he's made a bunch of great plays. So he's getting any quarterback that leads a team to be undefeated is going to get at least a B. Like I said, nobody gets an A because there's always room for improvement.
So do you feel like you've been swayed in this position because he went this first game without throwing an interception, and now he's sitting at 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Prior to this last game, he had more interceptions than touchdowns. He's got 1,942 yards on the season. You don't think that came into play? The positive play that he had against the Buccaneers moved you up to a B+, or was he a B+ regardless?
No, he was a B- after the first couple weeks, and then he just recently, after last week, got himself to a B+.
Okay.
Again, a couple of overthrows, Worthy a few weeks ago, underthrew a ball in the same ball game to Kelsey.
Overthrew Justin Watson on a deep pass.
Yes.
This past weekend.
So all in all, again, I think he's definitely feeling his, getting used to some. I mean, again, we got some new receivers. He started out the season thinking he was going to be throwing balls to Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, right? And now he's throwing it to Worthy. Obviously, Kelsey has always been the safety blanket.
McCole Hardman.
But now even D-Hop. So it's going to take a while for them to, like, really get on the same page, get the timing down, so that when there is a big play, like at the end of the game, we're going to try to get in field goal range. He's trying to look at D-Hop for a looky pass to get a quick 5 or 6 yards, and D-Hop didn't – they just weren't on the same page. So, yeah, he went from a B-minus to a B-plus in my book.
Okay, now let's go on to the offensive line.
Ooh.
Obviously, there's been a little bit of a rotating door on the left tackle, but let's talk about Juwan Taylor, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, and we'll go with Wanye Morris since he's been a staple at that left tackle position for the last couple games.
I mean, there's some guys that are performing on the A level. There's some guys supporting it on the C level. So
are you going to grade
as a unit? As a unit.
Okay, give me a unit.
The O-line is always as a unit. There's no individuals.
Okay.
You perform or don't perform. One link let you down, y'all all let us down. So the offensive line altogether to me is getting a flat-out B. Like I said, that you know, I think Creed Humphrey – my man Trey Smith, the guards in the center were kind of in that A-minus range, and unfortunately the tackles due to penalties and some untimely false starts and holes and stuff like that, especially at the beginning of the season. The rookie from BYU and then Wanye and Juwan. I mean, again, I'm just being honest, being true. I think they was kind of performing on like a C level. So all together, the offensive line, man, I give them a B. Obviously, what I love is that they're actually the arrow is pointing up.
Yeah.
I love to see the physicality they use to get this running game going. I mean, listen, I give running backs a lot of credit, but I know it's the offensive line is opening up the holes to allow the running backs to go. And also, when the quarterback throws the ball, it's the offensive line protecting them.
Yeah.
So due to the pass protection and the run holes they're opening up, I'm giving them a good B.
Well, in the NFL, the Chiefs are third in penalties against, and opponent penalties. They are near the bottom, 22nd. And we have given up 16 sacks on the season. But as you mentioned, I think one of the pluses is the run blocking for this offense and how in certain circumstances, if you think back to this past Buccaneers game, when we needed to run, when we needed to take up a lot of clock, when we needed to put them on their skis and backpedaling and pushing them backwards, we were able to be extremely efficient in that game. So I would agree with you on that. What about the tight end position?
What tight end, my man, Killer Trav? Kelsey, man, the beginning of the season, again, you know, it wasn't getting all the looks. Obviously, we were still winning ball games. And so, hey, man, being the savvy veteran he is, listen, until we needed him, he kind of was okay staying in the shadows, letting other guys get their looks, get their catches. Again, doing what was being needed to be done to win ball games. But, man, when he came out, man, had his come out games in the biggest moments, the last 2 weeks, Killer Trav has been back to Killer Trav. He's been doing El Travadisto. He got about 18 different nicknames and everything. So I'm giving Killer Trav, man, a B+. Again, a lot of room. Everybody has room for improvement to get to that A level, but he's been doing his thing, man. When given the ball again, I'm a nitpicker.
Yep.
So the fumble, man. The
costly fumble.
And it wasn't just the ball that was fumbled. There was another ball in the game where he caught it for a second that got knocked out his hands. That it didn't get called a fumble, but that's the kind of thing when you see it on film, it's just going to make more defenders even. You know, looking for that opportunity, coming in with that peanut punch. So,
all right, the last two I want to get to is the wide receivers and the running backs. Real quick, we got to go to break in a second.
So the wide receivers overall, I'm going to give them a B+ also because I love the fact that when things were going bad or things aren't going according to plan with injuries, the next guy steps up. So whether it was Worthy, Mecole Hardman, Watson, now D-Hop, everybody has stood up. Juju stood in, got us a really good game before he got injured. So they just kept answering the bell. So I love what the wide receivers doing. And then the running backs, man, I can't say enough of my man. Kareem Hunt has come back in the building, is being awesome. Looking for Pacheco getting back. So they're getting the B- right now. But I love the carries and love the tenacity and the way he's running downhill.
All right. With that being said, we're going to tackle your side of the ball. After this break, because I want to hear your grades
defense
over there.
Wins champions.
And
championships.
For all the listeners out there, just remember one of the most important points of this show.
Defense.
Wally Pipp got hurt. Well, I said, why? No. Yeah. Y.A. Tittle got hurt.
No, you said it.
And Babe Ruth took over for Y.A. Tittle. That's per barbershop.
Man,
when we come
break.
Back, we're going to talk to them. We're going to talk about the defense.
Go to the break.
Fans football show at Buffalo Wild Wings up here in St. Joe at 5403 North Belt Highway. We're here from 6 to 8 p.m. It's right off the intersection of I-29 and 169. So we got a live discussion with my brother here, Sean Barber, a.k.a. Barbershop, and I am Danon Hughes. Again, you can follow me on social media on X/Twitter at DAHughesGuy83 or on Instagram and at Instagram at Danon Hughes. My brother Barbershop here at Sean Barber 59 on MySpace. He don't even know.
I tried to look it up during the break and I couldn't even figure out how to open up the app, man.
But you can find us on social media. I am the color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network in my fifth season in the booth with Mitch Holthus, a former wide receiver with the Kansas City Chiefs, and Sean Barber, a decade-long linebacker in the NFL. And
yeah,
it's just great to be here. The takeover edition of the Fans Football Show. Our brother Jay Binkley is under the weather, so he called me in from the bullpen. We're going to have some fun up here with a capacity crowd here at Buffalo Wild Wings right here in St. Joe. Going into the break, before we get back to the football at hand, let's remember Buffalo Wild Wings has some great, great packages here. Some deals. Pick six for $19.99. You get two entrees, two sides, two soft drinks for $19.99. We also have some great gifts over here, some raffle and auction items. Register to win a 4-foot-tall Travis Kelce bobblehead. That is 4 feet tall, not desktop, unless you got a big desk. It is a 4-foot-tall Travis Kelce bobblehead that will be you can win at the end of the season. There's also a back-to-back Bud Light Super Bowl LED neon light right here on top of the table, along with a bunch of other giveaways. If you're here at the location, or if you want to stop by, have a beverage, have some of these great wings as well. I talked with Barbershop, and we're not going to get into the defense side. We're going to give a little bit of a break for the defense side. For me, I'm just going to recap my grades. I think this team has done an outstanding, outstanding job this season of figuring out ways to win. And I'm not going to give a grade for each position yet. Yes. I'm going to do that next week on my Players Only show. For all the listeners out there, every Thursday night, I have my Players Only show here at 96.5 The Fan from 6 to 7 p.m. Next week, hopefully I'll be talking about another win, but I will absolutely be tackling my grades, mid-season grades for this Chiefs team, offense, defense, and special teams. So make sure you tune in for that. But Barbershop, as I was mentioning, the one thing that stands out to me about this team is the ability to figure out ways to win when other teams figure out ways to lose. And you can't speak about that enough when you're talking about Super Bowl caliber teams, championship cultures, and mindsets. When teams are out there, you may not play your best football on offense. You may have some lapses on defense. You may have some issues in special teams. But when it's all said and done and the clock is winding down to zero, or in this case, overtime, you can't speak enough about how it is to have a team that knows how to win when there's so many other good teams in the NFL that just figure out ways to lose. So with that, I feel like we should relish what we have. We should savor what we have with this team, because I've been on teams, you've been on teams, we've both been on 13-3 teams, winning the AFC, number one seeds, and we lost games that we shouldn't have lost. We lost against good teams that played better than us on those specific days, and we'd probably give a couple of fingers. I don't know if we'd give the right arm, but we'd probably give a couple of fingers to go back in those circumstances and have a team that could figure out ways to win and maybe get us to the promised land. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll tackle the defensive side, see Sean Barber's side, his part of the team, the defense, and what he grades them, if he grades them a little bit tougher than the offense.